I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 17th of October. We're going to talk about the skies this hour of our program, one of our favorite kinds of shows. You'll get an idea of what's in the sky at this time. We'll talk about the film Gravity. I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure some of you have, and I've heard extraordinary reports about how you really feel like you're in space. We'll talk about the junk that's in space, 29,000 man-made objects larger than your cell phone. Do they pose a risk for us? And we'll look at the space station, the NASA's 77-ton Skylab space station that plunged through space, other things that have gone through space. And what's ahead for space exploration? There's a new spacecraft to Mars that's going to be launched next month now that the government is running again, so we'll talk about that. Our guest who will be joining us momentarily is Robert Bonadour. He is the director at the wonderful planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. First, though, let me just say briefly that we're in our winter membership drive right now. And for those of you who pledge this hour, this is one of those match for a dollar for dollar match up to $2,400, a generous match from current members, including John and Teresa Goth from Lake Villa, Illinois. So if you pledge a dollar, it's really $2, one of those kinds of hours, which makes it a great hour for you, double your money, and for us. Here's how you pledge this hour, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Robert Bonadour is our guest planetarium director at the Daniel Sorov Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. He teaches people what a great job about the wonders of the universe, and he has produced and directed over 20 astronomy shows and films. Recent productions are Cleopatra's Universe, Galileo, Secrets of the Dead Sea, and Cosmic Colors, and his show Romancing the Stars has been part of Valentine's celebrations for 20 years. He hosts astronomical events for eclipses, for meteor showers, solstice celebrations, and we'll be looking at the sky and the junk that is in space and all kinds of space questions. Feel free to ask Robert any of those questions. Our phone number for on-air participation is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Hello, Bob. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, Kathleen. It's great to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you here. We have a lot to talk about. Why don't we start? I know the government is reopened today. Can you tell us a little bit about the new spacecraft to Mars that is to be launched? Is it delayed now because of the government shutdown?
We think it's going to go off with no problems. They were worried if the shutdown got any longer than it did that there could be problems. And then if that happened, then they couldn't launch again for 2.2 years.
Oh, so. My goodness.
Right. It has to do with the orbits of Earth and Mars and the launch window. So it looks like they're going to be able to launch next month in November.
I never even heard about that in conjunction with the shutdown of government. It would have delayed this by 2.2 years? Wow.
Yeah, that's the way the orbital mechanics work. So, yeah. So we're glad we're back operating, and it looks like the MAVEN, it's called MAVEN, the spacecraft, it's an orbiter, will get to Mars.
How ambitious is a project like that, Bob?
Oh, they're very ambitious, all of them. We have the rovers there. They're multi-million dollar projects. There's hundreds, thousands of people working on these things. And Mars, of course, is so full of enticing possibilities, and the biggest one being life. You know, was there life on Mars? Is there life now? How much water was on Mars? Is there water still underneath the surface of Mars? These are all big, big questions.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way for you to even to begin to attempt an answer to that, to speculate on that right now?
Well, right now the question about life itself is still a mystery. The question about water is not. We know Mars had water in the past. We find a lot of evidence of that in the rocks. And there is a possibility that there's some evidence of a liquid beneath the surface. We don't know for sure if it's liquid water that comes out of the surface and makes these gullies, these kind of rivulets. But the reason water is such a big deal, and I'm sure a lot of listeners know, is that every living creature on planet Earth is over 50% water by weight, and us humans are about two-thirds. So where there's water, there could be life.
Mm-hmm. I think about this every now and then. I'm sure you must think about it more than most of us. But every now and then you go out and you look at the sky and you think, this is just amazing. Here I am on Earth and look at this sky and all of these stars. And you have to wonder about whether or not there's something out there somewhere. I know it's kind of a common question, but I'm interested in your answer.
Well, yeah, it's one of the most philosophical, profound questions any human being can ask. I mean, is there life out there?
Right.
Is there intelligent life out there? That's one of the prime reasons we explore, is to discover that answer. And we, personally, and it's just a belief, I think there is, but I have no evidence for that. So I can give you arguments, like there's lots of stars and we're discovering all these planets, but that is not proof.
Right. It would change everything. It's fun to think about that for a while and think about the kind of life you would like to find, fairly sophisticated, very peaceful, very intelligent. It may not be that, but if it were, how it would change life on Earth. Isn't it a fun thing to think about?
Oh, sure. Even if we don't find it, it still calibrates who we are
right.
as a species. And, you know, whether we find it or not, but if we, you know, yeah, so it, yeah, it will totally change the way we humans think about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So have you seen the film Gravity? I haven't seen it yet, but my stepson says, you got to go.
I haven't seen it at a planetarium conference, and I want to see it. I can't wait. It's gotten great reviews, and there's been a lot of talk. I've read so much about it already and talked to people, but it sounds like a great movie. Of course, there are a few things that are not, quote, astronomically correct about it. No movie is perfect, and they're not really intended to be. One of the common criticisms I've heard is that Sandra Bullock's hair doesn't, you know, float around as it should in zero gravity. So, but, you know, I can live with that, and I think most people can live with that. But it's still fun to point out, you know, what the science is up there and how zero gravity behaves and all of that. So.
I guess with the 3D, you really get a completely different kind of physical sensation. You feel perhaps as though you're in space.
Right. That's what I'm hearing from the majority of friends and colleagues is that, yeah, you're there. You're
right.
In space, which is a great tip of the hat to the director of the movie.
Yeah, it is. If anybody's seen it, give us a call because we'd like to hear both of us what the film is to you, if you liked it. Our phone number for On Air is 800-486-8655. And Bob, planetarium director at the Milwaukee Public Museum, can entertain all questions about space. Let's look at the October sky for a moment. It's the time of year when it gets a little darker, gets a little chillier, a little bit more ominous. I was interested in what you wrote about October 31st being halfway between the autumnal equinox and the winter solstice, called cross-quarter
right.
day, and really the beginning of a whole new season for what, the ancient Celts?
Yeah, the Northern Europeans, the Celts, they. If you think about it, it's sort of natural, right? Skies are getting darker, the days are getting shorter, the sun's getting lower in the sky, things are cold, you know, the trees are changing and all of that. So it's almost the natural start of winter right about now, or coming up on Halloween, not December 21st, because by then it's already cold, right? And things are freezing. But astronomically, we go to December 21st is because that's the day that the sun starts coming back and the Earth in its orbit tips more toward the sun after that. So there's good arguments for both as the start of winter, but the Celts saw basically Halloween as the start of winter.
Hmm. So how would we go about changing that if we decided we wanted winter to start October 31st?
Well, I don't know. That'd be more of a political thing. I know the meteorologists have their own definition of the seasons, so maybe we could do one. We could start one, you and me, Kathleen.
We can start a movement, huh? Let's start a movement. We were talking about Mars. Let's look at the sky for October. Mars, you can see pretty clearly, would you say, in the morning sky?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mars, if anyone is up there early walking the dog, check it out. It's a beautiful sky, especially in the morning. Mars will be kind of in the east-southeast in the constellation of Leo, which looks like a backwards question mark. And then if you look high up in the sky, very high up in the morning, this is about, you know, 6 o'clock, 6:30, it's still plenty dark out. you'll see the planet Jupiter in the constellation of Gemini, high up in the southern sky.
Mm-hmm.
And Orion.
Orion,
is back,
yeah. What other? Venus is low in the sky. When do you see Venus?
Venus you'll have to look for right after sunset. So right about 6:30 or so is a good time to see it in the southwest. It'll be rather low, but if you have a clear path to the horizon, you should see Venus, which is just amazingly bright. It's so bright, it's the number one reported UFO.
Is it really?
Oh, people mistake it for lots of things. Airplanes, a lot. It looks like an airplane. If you're in really dark skies and you have some train tracks around, people have thought Venus was a train headlight coming at them.
Huh. Maybe that's what I saw the other night. I saw something that was kind of unusual, and I thought for sure this was the UFO, and they were going to come down in my front yard and get out of the spaceship, and all life was going to change. But maybe it was Venus. It was an unusual kind of shape, and now that you talked about a train headlight, it almost looked like that.
Okay, yeah. But people reason very logically. It's so bright, it can't be a star or a planet.
Yeah. Why is it so bright?
It's close. It's close. Just like the moon is so bright in our sky, Venus is only about 25 million miles away at its closest. So that's pretty close, and it's a big object. It's about the size of the Earth, and the clouds on Venus are very reflective. So all those contribute to its brightness.
Mm-hmm. Don't you have a great job?
Oh, I love my job. Yeah, it's great. The universe is a wonderful place. It's so beautiful, and it's mysterious, and it ties into so many different topics, too.
Right.
That's a fun part of it.
The universe is a wonderful place. I like that. Our guest this hour is Bob Bonadour. He's the planetarium director at the Milwaukee Public Museum, and he tells us about why the universe is such a wonderful place. He's done all these productions, and I'm sure many of you in this area have seen them, or all over the state. Cleopatra's Universe, Galileo, Secrets of the Dead Sea, Cosmic Colors, and he does a romantic Valentine show for couples, which he's been doing for 20 years, Romancing the Stars. Any questions you have about the journey to Mars? The space journey that will begin next month. I didn't even know this. It wouldn't have gone for another 2.2 years if the shutdown had continued. Nobody even mentioned that as being one of the problems with the shutdown. Well, now they can go ahead with something they had planned for years because the government is no longer shut down, at least for now. We welcome phone calls for Bob. Here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655. I still want to hear some reviews of Gravity. Somebody out there must have seen it. Do you suggest that we go see it over the weekend, or can we wait because it's not all that great? Any questions you have about the universe? How many guests can you say? Any questions you have about the universe? This is the hour for you to call. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and we are in our fall membership drive. And this is a really important hour for you, and the whole drive is because your support really is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. We'll get back to the universe in just a moment. John Munson is with me here in Milwaukee to help make the case for you to go to WPR.org. or 888-202-2552 at this very moment to make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
Well, good afternoon, Kathleen.
Hi, John.
Well, here's an update on where we are. We had 15 new and returning members make contact with us last hour. Thank you for those pledges. This hour, the big news is we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,400. Wow. Well, this extremely generous match is from current members, including John and Teresa Goth from Lake Villa, Illinois. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Get your pledge doubled right now. Yes, doubled.
Yes.
Gosh, I'm starting to sound like a used car ad. This is a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can say that again and again. I think these hours are really valuable.
Oh, they're
because,
huge.
Aren't they? It's
they're
double
huge.
Your money. So
that's right.
Pledge this hour. You might have found yourself hovering near the radio, drawn into a great discussion. That happens to me 2 hours every day. I'm really hovering near the radio, involved in great discussions. You appreciate the guest's knowledge, the caller's questions, and views, because that has happened to you please make your pledge of support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Social responsibility. That's why a lot of listeners become donors, because they want to make a contribution to the greater good. Well, because you think of WPR as a shared resource, and because you've been getting value out of it over the past year or two or three or the last couple of decades, it's time to put something back in.
Make a donation for yourself and also for that community. The amount is up to you. $5 a month might be an example, but you can choose the amount. The important thing is that you participate. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And after you make your pledge today, you'll feel great every time you turn on the radio, because you'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you helped make the program possible.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. Your pledge not only guarantees our future, it guarantees your future listening. So pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and you'll feel good all year long. We're talking about the universe this hour of our show. Robert Bonadour is our guest, planetarium director at the Milwaukee Public Museum. On-air participation, here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655. And Amanda from Milwaukee is calling in. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. So my question was regarding something I saw in a documentary about bands of radiation that are outside the Earth. And one of the things that it said on this documentary was going through those bands would be really dangerous for astronauts, even inside a space shuttle, saying that it would have to be basically encapsulated in lead for them to be protected from that radiation. But, of course, that would make a space shuttle way too heavy to launch. So I'm just curious what your guests might be able to tell me about that and how that might inhibit space travel and exploration.
Very good question, Amanda. There's, as you know, the atmosphere protects us a lot from different types of radiation from space, gamma rays, X-rays. They're produced by the sun, different sources in space. And when the astronauts go up, there is an increased danger. They're exposed to more radiation, just like pilots and flight attendants on planes. They have to worry about that. They're only up there for shorter periods of time, months. I think the record is a year or so. But it's not. I mean, there's no imminent danger. They have more exposure to radiation, but there's nothing lethal about it right now. But there's a heightened danger, definitely.
Anything else, Amanda? I'm sorry, Bob.
Oh, no, just like they're exposed, there's no atmosphere to protect them, so the gamma rays will hit them more.
Uh-huh. Anything else, Amanda?
Yeah, and just also was wondering about how far out those bands of radiation are. Are they between us and the moon, or are they farther past us than the moon?
We're being pelted all the time by radiation from all different points of space. So, the sun is the most prevalent right now. But it peaks in the visible part of the spectrum, which is not harmful to us. But as you know, some ultraviolet light gets through, but not much X-rays or gamma rays get through our atmosphere. And the sun doesn't produce a lot of that radiation, so we don't have to worry about it. But long exposure in space is definitely an issue. It's something that NASA studies. If we go to Mars, if humans go to Mars, it's going to take a long time to get there. Months, about 7-8 months, and then all those. So they have to design spacesuits and spacecraft that will shield them as best as possible.
Thank you, Amanda, so much. Our number is 800-486-8655. This story resurfaces every time there's a meteor that hits Earth, and the Russian one that hit caught our attention for quite some time. I know that your newsletter this month looks at the amount of junk that's in space right now and what the chances are of our being bombarded by some of that junk. There's a lot of stuff in space, isn't there? Man-made objects.
There's a lot of stuff, but guess who put it up there? We did. And why did we do it? Well, because we live by it. I mean, a satellite in space can tell you what to wear today. If it's a weather satellite, it'll tell you the temperature, whether it's going to rain or not. Satellites help us watch television at night. It is so much part of our society. And these satellites, like the cars we drive, the bikes we ride, they don't last forever. They break down and parts come loose, and that becomes the space junk. We have to make these rockets to get them up there, and these rockets come apart, and that makes some space junk too. So that's the reason there's lots of satellites, because we have a lot of demands down here on the surface.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that we need something in place, we need to spend money to analyze when meteors might be hitting us and figure out some way to have them go on another trajectory?
Yeah, well, we're definitely watching it. In fact, the International Space Station, where the astronauts are, they track all this space junk. We can track things, you know, a few inches across, and they can actually move the space station just a little if they know that something's going to hit it to avoid a collision. So we're very sensitive to what's up there. But we have to remember that the space junk is spread apart quite a bit. It's not like, you know, all close together like a debris field. A lot of people have seen the Star Wars movie where Han Solo flies through the asteroid belt and it looks like all the asteroids are right next to each other. It's not like that. And same way with space junk. Things are spread out. Space is very big. There's a lot of volume up there. So it's not how it is often portrayed in videos and things like that.
Well, I know you write about some of these. NASA's 77-ton Skylab space station that plunged through the atmosphere and fell over the ocean, thank goodness, but it could have fallen on top of Chicago.
Sure. On top of our head. Ask anyone from Manitowoc. Part of Sputnik 4 fell right on the street back in, I think it was 1962.
Oh, yeah.
A 20-pound piece of space junk.
Wow.
But anyway, if people want to find out, we have a great movie called Space Junk 3D Planet or Planetarium, and people can find out more about it. It's a great show, and it's, you know, the Gravity movie, you know, that starts with a space junk collision. And they're very real dangers, but we just live by these satellites. And I don't think the danger, to be honest with you, Kathleen, is that high. I mean, you know, we have a lot of other dangers, but it is very real.
Well, does it become more high the more junk we put up there?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And they are thinking, NASA and some of the engineering, how to clean it up, if you will. The big nets that will collect the junk, the debris, the garbage. So they are looking at ways that if this keeps increasing, we have to do something.
Yeah. We're talking about the universe this hour of the program. We have yet to get a review of Gravity. I would think somebody out there has seen the movie. Here's a chance to be a movie reviewer. Bob and I would like a review to find out if we go this weekend or if we wait a little while to go see the new film. Bob Bonadour has been with us before. We love doing space shows. He is the planetarium director at the Milwaukee Public Museum. His job in life is to teach people about the wonders of the universe. Here's our phone number on air, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and lines are open for your on-air participation. Lines are also open for your pledge. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and this is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like space, discovering the universe. Yesterday we talked about therapy dogs and we talked about teachers, and every day it's something wonderful. And your support makes all of these conversations happen. Listeners like you provide the single largest piece of the funding here at WPR. So give now. Any amount makes a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we have that dollar-for-dollar match this hour, up to $2,400. It's in effect right now. So it's a great time to pledge, because for every dollar you give, current members, including John and Teresa Goth from Lake Villa, Illinois, will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of encouraging you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Double the impact of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. You enjoy this program. You enjoy Zorba Pastor on Your Health, The Joy Cardine Show, Radio Lab, many others that you've come to rely on.
Well, WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Support the exciting mix of shows you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It can be efficient to stock up on supplies for the future. You might not need a dozen rolls of paper towels this very minute, but we're often compelled to stock up on things that we know that we will use over time. Imagine having an infinite supply of in-depth news, intelligent talk, and entertainment at your disposal whenever you need it.
I like that idea. Uh-huh. A sustaining membership to Wisconsin Public Radio does just that. Your ongoing support is efficient and extends the shelf life of all of your favorite programs. So become a sustainer right now with a gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listeners, you provide the most significant share of our operating budget. Your donation comes with no strings attached, so we can invest it in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution helps keep independent public service radio on the air, not just for you, but for the entire community. Please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a reminder, we have a dollar-for-dollar match. It's in effect right now from current members, including John and Teresa Goth from Lake Villa, Illinois. So your gift of $100 turns into, $200 or $50 turns into $100, and on it goes. Take advantage of this match to make your gift go even further in paying for WPR programs. Get your pledge match dollar for dollar right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I want to try to help people recognize the importance of Wisconsin Public Radio. They provide such a good, non-biased background for us to make our decisions by. We need to recognize that the newspapers and the television programs are owned predominantly from the same people. So this is one of the few sources that we have non-biased information from both sides. Look at that, and let's understand this little gold mine that we have.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support during this fall membership drive. I'm John Munson with Kathleen Dunn asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you in advance for your gift of $10 or $15 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount. Make a choice and then make a pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, there are lots of ways to say make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. We could say stand up and be counted, make your voice heard, support what you love. Well, you do all of those things, and you really do make a difference when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Remember that dollar-for-dollar match still in effect, so give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
We do have a new WPR travel mug, and it's yours for a pledge of $15 a month or more. It's a nice reminder of how much you enjoy WPR, made by Clean Canteen. So get your new travel mug, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, when you make your pledge, consider becoming a sustainer, because your sustaining membership renews automatically each year, and you'll pay your pledge in affordable monthly installments. It's easy to set up, and it's a great way to make a lasting impact on Wisconsin Public Radio. You choose how to give. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you, John, so much. We're talking about the universe this hour of the program with Robert Bonadour. He is the director of the Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. We have a full bank of people who would like to talk about this wonderful universe. So let's go to your phone calls, 800-486-8655. Mitchell in Stevens Point. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Fine, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm actually just sitting in the parking lot waiting to go to class, but I'm going to be a little late because I really wanted to call in.
Oh, thanks, Mitchell.
no problem. Well, I did see the movie Gravity. I was in Colorado last week, and I went and saw it in IMAX 3D.
Ooh.
And, yeah, it was the best movie I've seen all year.
Mm.
And I'm not typically a big Hollywood blockbuster film guy, but it was remarkable. Yes, you do feel like you are in space. Yeah, maybe the Sandra Bullock's hair doesn't float around like it should, but it was really entertaining. Highly recommend it to anyone to go. I actually thought it was probably one of the best science fiction movies I've seen since 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Oh, that was a marvelous film. And did you get a sensation, Mitchell? I've heard that you really do get a sensation that you are in space, which would be a remarkable thing to have happen in the theater. Did you feel that way?
Yes. I'm actually pretty glad I didn't eat a big meal before I saw it.
Oh, my.
There was a few moments where I was like, oh, man, I got to, like, collect myself. I'm spinning a little bit, but that may have been the IMAX in 3D, but it was remarkable. I recommend it to anyone. It was a beautiful film. It really was.
Wonderful. What class are you going to?
I'm actually going to my marketing strategies class, but my professor actually tends to show up about 5 minutes late, so
all right, well,
I'm not too pushed for time.
All right. You'll be right on time. Thank you so much,
yes,
Mitchell, for calling.
Time. And I did have one question.
Oh, sure.
If that was okay.
Go right ahead.
I guess if humans were able to get to Mars, how would they be able to return from Mars?
You just bring the fuel with you. That's all you have to do. I mean, you have to bring you have to land on the surface with a spacecraft, just like if you think of the moon landings, they had to have fuel to get back, and that's what they did. So they blasted off from the moon back in the Apollo days, and they rendezvoused with Michael Collins, at least Apollo 11, and got back to the Earth. So you definitely, some people are saying that they would actually mine the rocks on Mars to produce the fuel, which they could do, the technology. But yeah, you just need some fuel to escape the Martian gravity, which is twice as big as the moon's.
And how long does it take to get there, Bob?
It's about 7 to 8 months, depending.
Wow.
And you'd want to spend a year or two there, I'm guessing, you know, to make it worthwhile for your investment, and then another 7-8 month journey back.
Ooh.
About a 2 to 3 year mission at least, and that's a long time to be away from home.
Yeah, it sure is. If you were in the space program, would this be something that people might be reluctant to volunteer for, or is it just such an attractive thing to do and important that you'd have a lot of volunteers?
I think you would have a lot of volunteers. I'm sure there are many astronauts that would not work out for them personally, with family or what have you, but I think there would be a lot of people who would step up and apply for this mission.
Mm-hmm. Mitchell, thank you. Have fun in class.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the review, too. Jim in Camp Douglas, hi.
Hello there. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
My question is, with all of the space travel we've done, the research, and all the effort and energy we've put into this program, what benefits have we acquired from the data, the materials, or whatever it might be that we've discovered during the course of all of this exploration that has benefited us here on this planet? And I'll hang up and take the answer offline.
Thanks, Jim.
Oh, it's a very good question. Well, first off, I mean, besides Tang was always the joke back in the day in the 60s, you know, that old orange drink. But the technological spin-offs from going into space, because you're doing things we've never done before, are just amazing. And they are reapplied to things here on Earth, even like in the medical community, where they have to, you know, they have to censor the astronauts and see how they're doing, how they're responding to the unique environment of space. So there have been a lot of medical applications from the space program. Velcro is one, you know, a common one. You know, things float around in weightlessness, so you need Velcro. And there's just a whole list. NASA does produce if you just Google technological spin-offs from the space program, it's just amazing. A lot of the things we use and deal with every day come from the space program. Having said that, some of it is just we spend the money because it's of the pure joy of discovery. of, you know, wanting to do things that no one has done before, and part of it is just that. But then going back to the satellite issue, well, you want benefits from space program and rockets getting them up there. You know, just try going through your day without using satellite technology. You're not going to do it.
No, you couldn't now.
You couldn't now. I mean,
yeah.
So the benefits are enormous. And is it costly? Yes, it's costly. But NASA's budget at about, I think it's, I'm guessing it's about, it's right around $17 billion. Yeah, that seems like a lot of money. But you compare that, that's less than a half a penny on the federal budget. So it's very small.
Barney in Burlington, hi.
Oh, hey. Thank you for answering me.
Sure.
I've thought for years, I've heard that the noun or verb that Newton described as gravity is obsolete because Einstein, I thought, replaced Newton's thought of how that phenomena worked by a newer and different process that nature holds things together with, by bending space and time. And there
exactly.
is no such thing as gravity. It's space-time is deformed around mass. Is that true?
It's true. What you're saying is right. There's still gravity, definitely. I mean, we still call it gravity, the force of gravity. But you're absolutely right. Einstein gave us a way, a different way to look at it, a better way. It doesn't mean Newton was wrong. Newton was very correct. Einstein more or less refined it a little bit. And yes, what happens is mass will bend space-time. It warp it in curved space, and that makes things fall. So if you have like a really big object like the sun, that will bend the fabric of space-time, and that dip, if you will, or that dimple into space-time is what keeps the planets, us, going around the sun. And the biggest thing we know, the most heaviest, densest thing in the universe is a black hole, and that bends space-time to the breaking point. And things go into a black hole, even light, and we don't know where they go. It's one of the biggest mysteries we have. So that's the story of gravity. In just a couple years, we're going to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Einstein's general theory of relativity.
Oh, how are we going to celebrate that? Are there big plans for it?
Well, I want to produce a show.
Oh, are you? So. Good. Okay.
We're trying to. We're in the initial planning stages. But, yeah, it's a fascinating concept about Einstein's views. And Einstein himself was just an amazing person. And we hope to capture his not only his science, but his humanitarian genius, too.
Mm, I still have that biography. Who wrote that biography? It's a fairly recent one. It's in my living room, and there's so much else to read. I haven't gotten to it, but it's on my list of things to read. So now I know I need to read it in the next couple of years.
Yeah, he was a very, very great man in a lot of different ways beyond the science.
We'll talk a little bit about what's coming up at the planetarium in just a moment. Universe is what we're talking about this hour with Bob Bonadour. He is director of the planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The director of the planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum is our guest. Why don't you just give us a rundown of things that are happening right now at the planetarium and also how you get that e-newsletter, which is a handy piece of information to the night sky and all that's happening in space?
Oh, sure. Well, if you want to tune into our newsletter, receive it, just go to the Milwaukee Public Museum website and go to the planetarium or the Dome Theater part, and you can get our address there and just send us an email.
Great.
And we'll send you the newsletter. And we have, for shows, we have lots of great shows. We talked about Space Junk a little bit. We have that movie in 3D. And we also have a great children's show out there. If you got some little ones about ages 2 to 6 or so, we have a Sesame Street show called One World, One Sky, which is a lot of fun for the young stargazer. And we have, speaking of stargazing, just a simple show called Wisconsin Stargazing, which is just a tour of the sky. We do it live. We show you what you want to see. I mean, we'll cover some of the basics, and then we solicit cosmic requests from the audience. So
yeah, come on down and see a show.
I think it makes such a difference. I grew up in Chicago, and I must tell you, every time there was a field trip to the planetarium, I was ecstatic, and I am still ecstatic going to the planetarium in Milwaukee and the planetarium in Chicago. I just find it enthralling. So if you develop that kind of interest when you're very young, it really does stay with you a long time, I think, Bob.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it just, as we talked about before, it leads to so many different avenues. I mean, right now we're producing a show on neutrinos, and a lot of people what's a neutrino? Well, a neutrino is like the lightest thing in the universe, smallest thing, and yet a neutrino can explain supernovas and black holes and supermassive black holes. And there's a telescope at the South Pole called Ice Cube, and they capture these neutrinos, their signatures, and then it's just going to be a great show. And we open that up in late November, November 21st. So that's been a great project to work on. The show is called Chasing the Ghost Particle. Ghost particle is the nickname for the neutrino, which is just so light, but is still amazing what it tells us about the universe.
Yeah. Well, Bob, thank you ever so much. It's always a great pleasure to speak with you and learn more about the universe. Thank you.
Oh no problem, Kathleen. Great to talk with you, too.
Happy almost winter, October 31st.
Thank you very much.
That's the campaign we're leading. He's right about that. The ancient Celts were right about that. Bob Bonadour, planetarium director at the Milwaukee Public Museum. Lots of shows he's produced. He's really a talented, inventive man who knows a lot about the universe. That was great, great fun. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. We're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like this one. It's how WPR works. The people who use it help pay for it. So go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to support the programs that you count on.
Well, and I have some news to report, a little update. We have captured our dollar-for-dollar match of up to $2,400.
Thanks, everybody. Great.
Been in effect this hour. It's a great time for us to celebrate. And thank you to those who helped make this possible, including John and Teresa Goth from Lake Villa, Illinois, who donated an additional dollar for every dollar you donated, up to $2,400. Now, we still need to get six more pledges to make our overall goal for this hour. We've got 19 in. We need 25. So you can be the next one at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation about the wonderful universe. I mean, where else do you get a conversation about the universe? It's here. We talk about the universe, for heaven's sake, with the director of the planetarium in Milwaukee and with eminent scientists all over the world, really. So if you love these kinds of topics, take a few minutes to make this hour and many more conversations about the universe possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, during this fall membership drive, we've had pledges in all sorts of amounts, $5 up to thousands of dollars. So maybe you're considering a pledge of $100 a month. Your $1,200 contribution will really help make this program possible. Of course, your pledge in any amount is always welcome and appreciated, and we'll help you set it up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've been on vacation, or maybe your car radio didn't work and you felt like something was missing when you couldn't listen to WPR for a while. And then when you got WPR back, you had that great feeling of familiarity.
Well, when you see how happy you are to have those familiar voices and programs back, that's when you realize how important Wisconsin Public Radio is in your life. The way to keep it here is to support it with your dollars. Make your pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We joined Wisconsin Public Radio probably in the first month that we lived in Madison, about 11 years ago. Just part of the process of settling in a new town is finding public radio and starting to listen and then joining. We didn't become sustainers until last year, and it made sense. It was easy to do, it's convenient for me, and it really makes me feel better to know that WPR can get our financial support every month. It just seems like a much easier way. You listen, so you obviously like the station. Because you enjoy it so much, you have to remember that while radio waves are free, producing those radio shows is not free. Even as little as $10 or $15 a year makes a difference. But $10 or $15 a month is something that most of us could afford. You know, it's what, three or four Starbucks? I'm Michelle from Madison, Wisconsin. I hope you'll join me in being a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Become a sustainer. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. John Munson with Kathleen Dunn today asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. Now, whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month or anything above, below, or in between, we appreciate and count on your gift.
We're looking, John, for six more pledges. We don't need that much more to really meet our goal this hour. Six more pledges. You might be thinking, well, I'll pledge next time. Well, this is it. Today is the last chance for you to pledge to our particular show during this membership drive. So do it now.
Well, procrastinators of the world, unite.
That was the time. You waited until today.
This is it. Don't delay any longer. Join the community of people who come together to make radio like the Kathleen Dunn Show possible and worthwhile. Pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We have a new WPR travel mug. It's yours for a pledge of $15 a month or more. It's a nice reminder of how much you enjoy WPR, made by a clean canteen. So get your new travel mug at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Five more pledges we need, John.
Five more. Couple of minutes, we can do this.
Yes.
Lori from Appleton says, after years of listening, I finally no longer feel guilty for listening. I'm proud to support my favorite radio station. Well, we don't want you to feel guilty, but if that helps make you make a pledge, well, okay, fine.
Okay.
We'll use that. Lori, thank you so much. We're glad you feel better. Join Lori in making your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Go to the web, go to WPR.org, or pick up the phone and punch in those numbers, 888-202-2552, and we thank you.
We sure do. We need four more pledges, just four
wow, this
calls,
is exciting.
And we'll be at our goal of 25 people who pledge, so please call now. You know, this is it. It's for our show, too, because I'm not here on Fridays. So it's a last chance for you to pledge to this program. 888-202-2552-WPR.org. John Munson, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks to Rhonda Fanning, who loves getting us talking about the universe, and we love talking about it. And KP Whaley, thanks to KP as well. Thanks for all of your pledges, everybody. And if you forgot the number, how could you? 888-202-2552 is the number to call. Four more pledges. You can pledge during the news.